Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad, and it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
All right, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Sit down. Will you sit down? Stop pacing. You're making me nervous. Sit down. What are you smiling? What are you smiling about? Wipe that smile off your face. What's going on here? What? What? You listen to a show and you don't bring a bottle of wine? How rude are you? Wait a minute, you're not taking out your checkbook and making a cash donation to the program? Wow, that is so small. I just noticed, you don't have any shoes on. How can you listen to this show without any shoes on? I can't believe you. Those are my theatrical abilities. I make believe that I'm really incensed and can't stand you. Isn't that amazing how I can pull that off dramatically? Oh, God. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. I can prove it. Look, there's pictures of me all over the place. That's me. What do you want from me? How are you? What day of the week is this? Quick. Sunday. No, it's not. It's Friday. It's the end of the work week. I know what I'm going to do this weekend. Sweat. I'm going to sweat. I live in the Boston area. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying. And we got a string of like 3 or 4 90-degree days coming up, starting today. Which means I'm going to have to change my clothes halfway through the day. It's going to be sweat stains all over the place. Oh, God, I hate that. And then, you say hello to people, and you're talking to them, and you're noticing that sweat is dripping from their scalp, and there's a little bead of water dripping off of the point of their nostrils. It's just, this is a disgusting time of year. It really is. I get my yard sprayed to prevent mosquitoes. Yeah, they come by every like 3 weeks with this big fogging machine, and they spray my property with anti-mosquito spray. This is the kind of life that I'm living now. I'm declaring war on insects. I tell them what the hell's going on here. Yeah, there's a drought where I live. We haven't had water since 1927, no rain whatsoever. The Colorado River is basically dried up, an incredible drought there. And then yet in the Midwest, the Tennessee Valley, the, the all those places, they're being flooded. I don't understand. Same in Europe. It was so dry there, and then it started to rain a little bit. The water had nowhere to go. Ron, I thought that you were praying for rain. Yeah, but here's the problem. When the ground gets that dry, it hardens. So water does not seep in. It just washes away off the hard surface. So you get flooding. Oh, great. Oh, that's just great. I don't know. Mother Nature and I used to talk all the time on the phone. I used to call her. It was 1-800-MOTHER-NATURE. That was her phone number. And we had an understanding, you know, give me a decent life. Give me some rain. Give me some sun. We're good. And now she's a call. She didn't answer the phone anymore. Or it's a robotic call. I don't know. Do you pray? Pray for good weather for the entire globe for a change, that every part of the globe gets the weather that they need right now, because now it's the opposite. And I don't know if it's global warming, quote-unquote, climate change, quote-unquote. Something's fucked up here, and that's all I know. So what do? We turn to the Saints. Not the New Orleans Saints. That's a football team, I believe. I'm not into football, so I'm not sure. There are various saints that were set up in the Bible. If you need something, you got to go to the proper saint. Various saints have various tasks. No one saint can do everything, my God. So you got to, you know, all kinds of saints that you should pray to. Saint Anthony helps you find things. You know, if you've lost your car keys or your fob, that's a new word, fob, you call Saint Anthony, 1-800-SAINT-ANTHONY, and he'll basically tell you where your keys are. Not a bad service, but you got to pray for that stuff. You really do. I have not prayed too much in my life. Now I'm finding reason that perhaps there's maybe something to this. That and feng shui, those two things. You into feng shui? Do you know what that means? I have no idea. Probably means change your stuff around, put it somewhere else. I think that's what it means. I practice feng shui. I never have my back to the door of a room. That's bad luck. So you always face the entrance to a room. That's a feng shui rule, number 17. Every once in a while, I'll change the furniture around in various rooms just so I can get a different perspective on life. I have a lot of fake plants in my house because I don't have to water them. Yet, at a quick glance, they look real. I know they're not real, but at the same time, when I do a quick glance at these fake plants, they seem real. It's greenery. I don't know. It works. I don't water my plants. I dust them off. Anyway, welcome to the program. Thank you for being here. I have an interesting guest. Emmy Sims joins me. We're going to talk about her book, A Little Bit of Pleasure. Ooh, baby. Does that mean what I think it means? It could. We'll talk to her a little bit later on. Not too much later, because this can't go on forever, and it's getting annoying, isn't it? Here's something I wanted to talk about today that's been on my mind like nothing else. I am a child of the 70s. I was a part of the peace and love generation, and a proud member, too. I still have the membership card somewhere in my wallet, next to my Blockbuster membership card. Millennials don't know what a Blockbuster is. It was a video store. Oh my God, remember those? You know how I'm getting old? I do a lot of remember those kinds of humor now. It works, but it's also pathetic. Anyway, I wasn't an activist or anything, but I was a hippie. I was a hippie toward the end of the hippie thing, but I was. I believed in peace and love. Those two things were just wonderful. Peace, always. I always believed in peace. Peace is so much nicer than the alternative. Everybody gets along. Everybody's secure, comfortable, kumbaya, hold hands. Peace is a really nice thing. You can thrive in peace. And then there was the peace, and then there was the love. The love part was good. We had free sex. I didn't pay a dime for my sex back then. Now it's quite expensive, especially with inflation. I wonder if prostitutes raise their prices by at least 20%. I don't think so. Anyway, peace and love, free sex. Who could argue with that? It was an entire generation. Everybody my age was on the same page. Yes, peace and love, all of us. We were against war. A lot of us got high every day. What could be more peaceful than that? Getting high, having peace, making love. I mean, you're talking about utopia here. There weren't a lot of sexual diseases. There probably were, but we didn't talk about them. Not a lot of people were getting them. They certainly weren't fatal. It was a pretty good deal. Here's what I don't understand. Almost everybody in that generation turned into a bunch of assholes. How did that happen? If you were brought up in the peace and love kind of momentum, kind of feeling, kind of generation, how did you turn into a bunch of corporate schmucks? Not all of you, not the listeners to my program, certainly. And you can be both. You can be corporate schmuck and still have peace and love. But an overwhelming majority of people in my age group just forgot about their entire peace and love thing. The strive for peace and tranquility and respect. What happened to that whole generation? They're still alive for the most part, but kind of changed their tune incredibly. That's one of the sadder things in my lifetime, is to see the peace and love generation, which seemed so powerful and so complete and so plentiful, to see it just die off into a sprawling pool of downward cesspool direction. What happened? We should be now existing in a country of incredible peace and love from that generation. But it's that generation that has actually denounced what it did successfully. It makes no sense. I, on the other hand, I clung to that. I cling to it today. I want peace. I want love. Call me crazy. Many members of my generation are calling for violence, confusion, lying, destruction. What happened? Where have all the flowers gone? I don't know, man. Generation stuff is a weird thing. I think what happens is, here's what happens in life. This is the progression of life. You're born, you have no choice, you're not in control at that point. Then you go through childhood where you act like an incredible asshole. You act rebellious. You try out all these drugs and sexual positions that nobody can achieve. You annoy your parents. You do horrible things because you're experimenting with everything. Adolescence, you're acting like an asshole for the most part. And then you get into your young adulthood, and you start to turn hopeful. I have my whole life in front of me, but you're starting to feel responsibility. I've got to work in order to live well. I'm going to raise a family. I'm going to have children. I'm going to be grounded, have responsibility, form a family of love and devotion, form a family unit, an entire life of my own. And you become quite okay And then you get older and you turn into the, let's call AARP years. And I don't care if you're 30 or 40 years old. AARP is out for you. They'll grab you at 35. And then you get a little cantankerous and a little kind of annoyed. And you turn into an asshole again. Problem is, two-thirds of your life, you're an asshole. I know people don't like to be called that. And I mean it in an affectionate, satirical manner. But still, you know what I'm saying? I think you do. All right. My guest is coming up rather soon. But before we transpose to that part of the program after my pontification of today, we do have to take a short commercial break because no one's going to pay for this. I guarantee you, no one is going to pay for this program. So we have to run commercials. It's important. We'll be right back after this word.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Hi, Emmy. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You sound like you're doing great there. Emmy Sims joins us now. A little bit of pleasure. I could use that, certainly. It's a great
Everybody
book.
Everybody can.
Of course they can. It's just what the doctor ordered, as you say. We're talking about romance and relationships, and you're an expert in this field, I understand.
Kind of. I've been doing it for a long time. I've been doing it for over 40 years.
Oh, well, that's an expert to me. Doing anything more than 10 minutes is an expert to me. So that's pretty good. This is under the category of intimacy mentoring. What exactly is that?
Well, I mentor based on my experience, my strength, and, mm-hmm. and how I have come out of several bad marriages, mm-hmm. how the tools that I used, I give them the tools to help them.
Okay.
The difference between a therapist versus a mentor, a therapist spends a lot of money on education and a lot of books, mm-hmm. but they don't share their experience.
I see.
And that's the difference for me.
So it's information by example.
Exactly.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, that's more effective because when someone tells you their experiences, then you know that it worked or it didn't work or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like sharing a recipe.
Yeah. it is like sharing a recipe. See, you're talking about something that people do not talk about, and that's always an interesting thing because intimacy and romance should be in relationships, but yet we don't discuss this with our friends. We don't discuss it, certainly not with our parents. Oh my God. And not even with your partner most of the time. So it's a very interesting phenomenon.
It is so filled with shame and guilt and dread and hell. it stymies, especially women, much more so than men.
Really? Okay.
Yes, much so more. You know, men can scratch themselves at any time
True.
During the day.
It
doesn't matter where or who.
Okay.
If a woman did that,
yeah.
The heavens would part.
That's a different thing. Yeah, but not
it's
to say that
not acceptable.
But not to say that men scratching themselves is acceptable either, as far as I'm concerned. It's just something that they get away with.
They do. And I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying that even though the rules are all the same, they're interpreted differently for different people. And I'm not saying the rules are bad.
Yeah.
But the way we internalize things and the way our mothers, primarily our mothers.
Yes.
I wasn't allowed to wear anything but cotton tennis underwear because I would be a bad person. I wasn't allowed to wear hoop earrings because that made you a whore.
Yeah.
I mean...
well, times have definitely
changed.
My mother
had...
Yeah, you...
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't think we're far from it.
No. Let me ask you two questions, Emmy. First of all, when we go to the movies, in every single movie, whether it's a comedy, espionage, drama, no matter what, somebody goes to bed with somebody, and there is a romantic sexual scene. And I think for many of us, we expect that in life, that happens all the time. When you meet somebody or something clicks and if that doesn't happen to you in your life, these romantic scenes that come out of nowhere, then there's something wrong with you. Do you find that to be the case?
That is absolutely the case. There was a show on TV, a doctor show, and of course they've been Googling it over the surgical table, and then they got into the locker room, and he threw her up against the locker,
That's
and I
right.
thought, well, she'll never walk again, because he just put that thing in the middle of her back, and we do. It's no different than Father Knows Best. We try to, that's how family should be.
Right.
2 point, you know what I mean? And we do that, and it's not real.
Good.
But the thing that I would like to impart with you is that adult films, toys, negligees, lubes, all of those things. It's a $15 billion industry a year in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Somebody's buying it.
Somebody's buying
watching it.
It,
but we can't talk about it.
Yeah. And how do you, I mean, and then there was the movie 50 Shades of Grey and the sequels that made it not necessarily acceptable, but to point it out that you can have some wild experiences and fantasies and have fun with it. How do you know if somebody else, how do you know if somebody else is into it until you embarrass yourself by asking them?
Conversation.
Ah.
Communication. Even with your longtime husband or wife.
Yeah.
I find that most men want to please their women.
Sure.
Women are too embarrassed or too, they're scared.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid they'll get mad.
Yes.
They're afraid they'll hurt his feelings.
Yes.
But you can have some of that kind of sex if you're adventurous.
Mm.
The books were much better than the movies, though, to tell you the truth.
Okay. It's good to know.
And the books, Ron, changed women's lives because it excited their mind, which is their biggest sex organ.
Yeah.
And gave them permission to try something different.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a whole nother life if you engage in that. And there are other marriages and relationships, girlfriend, boyfriend, where all the excitement seems to go away after a fashion because of the longevity of the relationship. And I guess that's something that you hear about a lot, is that the magic is starting to decrease. How do I get the magic back if it's not there?
You have to, I think, a couple have to make a decision that this is, our relationship is more important than school, soccer, children, parents. Mm. And they have to do a little work. Any relationship, whether it be friendship or any relationship.
Yeah.
It takes effort and time. And education. You don't learn something new without doing a little study, a little research. And it doesn't take a lot to get those juices flowing again. This takes a little bit of time. I always recommend date night and make it, and you can't talk about kids at work.
Yeah.
We have to cultivate a different conversation with the person that we spend our nights and days with.
You're absolutely right. I could talk to you for hours, but I'm not allowed to by law, so I can't do that. But there is a book.
Wow.
It's a little bit of pleasure.
Oh, yes, thank you.
And it's available everywhere.
And your audience,
yeah.
On Amazon primarily, and they can reach me on alittlebitofpleasure.com. They can send me an email at emmy@alittlebitofpleasure. If they want to talk to me or want some mentoring, they can... We can exchange through emails a telephone number so they can reach and talk to me. I am available. I am reachable. And it'd be my pleasure.
That sounds great.
Help anyone have a better sex life.
You know what your book also does, which I may recommend, is that if one buys the book and just leaves it on a table somewhere in their house or their apartment, your partner might just say, oh, what are they doing with this book? Or they may open it up and start looking at it. And it may actually break the ice for more of an interesting, intriguing relationship simply by having the book in the room. I think it's a great icebreaker.
You're right. And I did a brochure last year, sent it to a therapist and psychiatrist, suggesting that they recommend my book so their clients could talk to them.
That's right.
I've had seven therapists thought that, tell me that it did help.
Yeah.
It does help.
It does. And the title kind of brings you right to where you're supposed to go. A Little Bit of Pleasure. We could all use
it.
A little bit. No, it's not overboard, but a little bit. It opens the door for more pleasure.
Then you get a little more.
That's right. It's a door opening is what we're talking about. Emmy Sims, alittlebitofpleasure.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Pleasure.
And my name is spelled with two capital letters, not
yes.
E-M-M-Y.
Right. Capital M, capital E. Sims, a little bit of pleasure is what you're looking for, though, literally. Thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. However, there is a large swath of people who need their horoscopes read, and they turn to this program for that very reason, because horoscopes are not really given on most radio stations or podcasts, but we go out of our way in order to make that possible. So here is your horoscope today. Kip?
Greetings, fellow planetary travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, good news. Disco is making a comeback, which means you can finally justify your wardrobe choices and your raging cocaine habit. Pisces, the next time you order coffee, look over your left shoulder. The love of your life just might be there waiting. Or at the very least, a regrettable hookup. Aries, just say no to saying yes for once. Trust me. Taurus, opportunity comes to you this month in the form of people named Jeffrey, the letter M, an everything bagel, one red shoe, a song you can't get out of your head, and random information. Gemini, at least one of your spam emails promising you millions of dollars is actually legit. Most of the other ones will end up with you in a bathtub of ice missing a kidney. Good luck. Cancer, it's time to get a pet. And based on what the stars have to say about your state of employment, maybe make it something you wouldn't mind eating. Leo, it's really okay if people call you Leopold. It's a very distinguished name. Latch on to it. Virgo, love is in the air with an attractive stranger who takes Venmo, PayPal, or good old-fashioned cash. Libra, all the answers for you this month will come at the bottom of your 12th shot glass. Sadly, it also comes with liver failure. Scorpio, You should probably stay inside this month. The stars are unclear, but there's some weird stuff coming involving a cheeseburger, a TikTok dance, an elderly woman named Shantae, the actor who played the principal of Ferris Bueller, a pair of hip waders, two frisbees, some margarine, an emu, and that guy you left for dead in the Sahara. Sagittarius, you're getting good news this month. They found a donor for your armpit transplant. Who knew that was even a thing? Capricorn, the stars say you're getting everything you deserve this month. But then it sounds like they say, you son of a bitch, so maybe keep a low profile. I'm Kip Starchild. That's your look at what the stars have in store for you. Make good choices. Peace.
Thank you, Kip. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.